about living the extraordinary life, I'm not talking about having $1 million in the bank. I'm talking about living in such a way that at the end of the road, we get the applause of heaven.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In his message tonight, Pastor Brian Grant will be continuing to look into what Scripture has to teach from the life of a man named Caleb, who, along with Joshua, the successor to Moses, became one of the only two adults delivered out of slavery in Egypt to actually enter the Promised Land. And in the message we heard last week, we learned why that was so. Using the example of this incredible man, Caleb, Pastor Grant showed us how facing down the giants we all face at some point in life requires a faith like Caleb's. It requires an unshakable conviction that God is always faithful to his promises and that he always means good for his people. In this evening's message, Pastor Grant will look again into what God's Word has to say about Caleb's faith that enabled him to win a great victory for God, even at an advanced age. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn now to the book of Joshua, chapter 14, and listen along with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of the message entitled, Living the Extraordinary Life, Part 2. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Last year, Nick Foles was the MVP of the Super Bowl. Some of us remember that. Nick Foles spent almost the entire season sitting on the bench. But with about three games to go, the Eagles quarterback, Carson Wentz, the $30 million franchise player, he got injured, if you recall. And Foles was called in to finish the season. Most Eagles fans figured this could not be a Super Bowl win, because a victory, because for sure, the feeling was that Foles could not measure up to Carson Wentz. Well, Nick Foles played magnificently. I think we all know the story. He led the Eagles to the first Super Bowl championship in the history of the Eagles, and Philly went wild. Well, despite his extraordinary performance last year, Nick Foles spent most of the year where? Back on the bench again this year. And deja vu, Carson Wentz got injured again, and in came Nick Foles. But this time the situation didn't look good, because you know the story. We were struggling, and our chances of making it to the playoffs were slim to none. But Nick Foles produced some magic. And all of a sudden, the Eagles were in the playoffs. And last Sunday, we all watched excitedly to the very last second for the nail-biting finish when the Eagles won their playoff game. The train is still rolling, folks. And this evening at 4 o'clock, we'll find out how much further the train will go. But we may as well say it for the Eagles. Let's hear it for the Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S. I know at least one giant fan in the church, you know. He ain't here today, so he can't say I'm preaching against him. You know, it's good to know folks who are extraordinary. But it's even better for us to live an extraordinary life. And today I want to finish a message I started last week, which was entitled, Living the Extraordinary Life. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to get a tape or a DVD or whatever they use these days. Otherwise, watch it on the website, because I think it has some very important teaching that you need to pay attention to. But today I want to bring this message to a close. Living the extraordinary life. God intends that every Christian should live the extraordinary life. Every Christian should. Now, when I talk about living the extraordinary life, I'm not talking about having $1 million in the bank. I'm talking about living in such a way that at the end of the road, we get the applause of heaven. that God is satisfied, that God is impressed because we have lived a life of meaning, a life that made impact. Do you want to live an extraordinary life? Well, listen, there are some lessons we can learn. We started last week on some life lessons from Caleb, and I want this morning to share with you four more lessons from the life of Caleb. This man who was such an ordinary man, a man who started out as a slave, an ordinary man who lived an extraordinary life. First lesson I want to bring to your attention this morning. Lesson number one, we must be willing to stand alone for God. If you have the notes for those of your visitors, there's an insert in the bulletin. Follow me if you would. We must be willing to stand alone for God. One of the most extraordinary things about Nick Foles is his willingness to stand alone for God. You know, at the Super Bowl last year, before the Super Bowl began, Foles spoke with Tony Dungy, and he told Tony Dungy that he expected to have a very good game because somehow he sensed that God wanted him to play well enough so that he would be able to bring glory to God. He suspected he was going to be put in the spotlight so that he could bring glory to God. Of course, Tony Dungy said that at halftime, and man, didn't the fans get mad. Fans all over the country. Tony Dungy was in trouble for a while because he had talked about Jesus on TV, although he was only reporting what this athlete said. You see, you can report on TV when athletes say all sort of trash, but you can't ever say on TV that an athlete is talking about Jesus and is bringing glory to God. But Nick Foles was willing to stand alone and bring glory to God. Amen. Listen, Caleb was also willing to stand alone. Turn in your Bibles, Joshua 14, verse 7 and 8. Joshua 14, 7 and 8. I was 40 years old, Caleb says, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. You see, hundreds of years earlier, God promised Abraham and his descendants that he was going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. And when the Israelites finally got to the outskirts of this land flowing with milk and honey, Moses sent in spies to spy out the land. He sent in 12 spies to spy out the land. But despite the fact that God had promised to give them the land, 10 of the spies brought back a negative report. And these 10 spies said that defeat was certain. Defeat could not be avoided because there were all these giants in the land and there was no way to beat them. And because they gave that report, all the people sided with them. They swayed the entire crowd, and everybody was convinced that defeat was certain. There was nothing we could do. But Caleb, he was willing to stand alone. And Caleb said, "We can overcome." Caleb remembered what God had done at the Red Sea, and Caleb was convinced. Listen, his God was bigger than any giant. In fact, as far as Caleb was concerned, these giants were so big, we couldn't miss. Some of you will catch up with that later. Caleb stood firm for God's honor. Since God had promised them the land, he was sure God would deliver on his promises. He was not going to go along to get along. You know, it takes backbone to stand for God. Did you know that? Have you ever noticed there's not a line waiting? If you're standing for God, there's usually not a line behind you. Because it's the few, it's the brave who are willing to stand alone for God. More often than not, we're willing to just go along with the crowd. But my friend, there's nothing necessarily wrong with trying to fit in. The problem is that sometimes we fit in, even though it's dishonoring God. We just go along with the flow. We don't want to create any waves. You know, because of Caleb's desire, in Numbers 14:10, we read that the people were going to stone him. They wanted him dead. This fact that he's going to stand for God. And listen, if you decide to make a stand for God, it's not going to be easy, but it's the right thing to do. Amen? And young people and older ones, this morning, God is saying to us, we need to have the courage to stand for God, even if it means standing alone. Listen, Caleb was focused on pleasing God. And I believe that's where the challenge is. We are not always focused on pleasing God. For many of us, we would much rather please some person, some human being. But if we are focused on pleasing God, it makes it much easier to stand alone for God. Who are you trying to please? But listen, and this is what struck me as I was studying this passage. God took note of what Caleb did. And the Bible takes the time to point out that God took note of what Caleb did. Hold your Bible in Joshua, but turn to Numbers chapter 14, verse 22 and 23, and look at what it says here, because all these men, God is speaking, and he says in verse 22 of Numbers 14, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test. Now these 10 times I have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, thank God for people who have a different spirit, amen? Folks who are not just willing to go along to get along, but folks who will be courageous enough to stand for God. He says, but my servant Caleb, he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Put this in your notes. Whenever we stand up for God, God takes note. And listen, I want every person here this morning to recognize this. Young person, when you're at school and you stand for God, when they want you to do the wrong thing, when your friends are passing around a joint and you refuse to take it and you walk away, I want you to know God takes note. Listen, when you're on that business trip and everybody says, listen, we're going to go to some porn party or some porn show, and you decide, no, I'm going to stand for God, God takes note and he writes it in his book. Whenever we stand for God, and I need to ask you, are you willing to stand for God? Are you willing to say, God, so far I've been sort of soft pedaling my Christianity, but today I'm going to make a decision that as for me, my life is going to be designed and determined and oriented at pleasing you.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Now listen, I have come to the conclusion that part of the reason why we have such a hard time standing for God is because too many of us have the wrong folks in our inner circle. Did you hear what I'm saying? We allow any old Joe or Jane in our inner circle. If you do not have the folks who are focused on pleasing God in your inner circle, you can expect drama. Because they're not going to encourage you to please the Lord. In fact, they will discourage you from pleasing the Lord. And some of us need to have a flushing. By the way, Don't believe just because somebody in the church, that means that's the right person, you're in a circle. Because you better believe, not every believer is serious about pleasing God. There's some believers who will, you'll be sitting and they say, okay, it's all right, God understands, you know, he's such a forgiving God. You need the right people in your inner circle. Did you know it really matters who your friends are? Did you know that? My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, bad company ruins good morals. Put that down. Bad company ruins good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33, there are a whole lot of other verses in the Proverbs we could look at. It does matter who your friends are. I hope you're listening to me. I hope somebody is listening to me, because God is talking to somebody. Some of you got to shed some of them folks in your inner circle. Don't just kick them all out of your life, but put them out on the periphery. You see, we need them on the periphery because we need to reach out to them for Jesus, for Jesus. Amen. If they're nowhere, we have no contact, we have no opportunity to share the love of Jesus. But listen, don't let them be the ones in your inner circle. Don't let these negative folks who are only trying to bring you down be in your inner circle. Have people who are positive, who are trying to move forward for God, who wants to see God glorified in their lives. And I tell you, they will encourage you to live for Jesus. They will encourage you to move forward. Oh, it might sound crude, but you've heard the expression. If you hang around dogs, you're what? You're going to get fleas, aren't you? If you hang around dogs... Now, I'm not calling your friends a dog. But if you hang around dogs, you're going to get some fleas. And we need to make sure we get rid of some of the folks in our lives. You know, I've met several young men. I've met several young men who have a criminal record because they hung with the wrong crowd. I met these guys and they said, I was in the car. We stopped at the corner store. I didn't know what my friend was up to, but you see, when his friend went in the corner store, he robbed the store, and he come running in, they jump, everybody's having a good time. Then the police car pulls up behind. All of a sudden, there's the siren is heard. They don't feel this has anything to do with them. They're pulled over. Suddenly, you are arrested. You're an accomplice. Oh, you better believe this is the real deal. You see, the problem was, what was the problem? He was with the wrong crowd. He had the wrong person in his inner circle. He had someone in his inner circle who was determined to do mischief. And listen, young person, your parents might be telling you that you need to get rid of somebody in your inner circle. It's time for you to open your heart and your ears and your sense before you end in jail. You need to stand. Listen, if nobody at school loves Jesus, if you can't find anyone there, it's okay. God will make a way. He's going to find you somebody. But don't hang out with the wrong folks just to hang out. May God help us to realize it does make a difference. So many young people and older ones, some of these sad sacks, 55, 60 years old, they're still on drugs because they got onto drugs with their so-called friends years ago. Listen, we need to get out. Get these people out of our inner circle. And this morning, God is calling on us to make a stand for God. And if you're going to succeed at making a stand for God, you've got to clean up your inner circle. And somebody needs to make that decision right now. Right now in your heart. The Spirit of God is touching you and is nudging you about somebody. He's pointing out, girlfriend. He said, girlfriend needs to go. You going to let her go? I don't know what the guys call their friends these days. What is the term? My man. Let go, my man. Let him go. You see, because when you get in trouble, I'll pray for you. But guys, girls, you don't have to go there and then come to us and say, oh, I'm in trouble. lost. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Take heed lest you fall. Number one, if we're going to live an extraordinary life, we must be willing to stand alone for God. But secondly, we must remember that masterpieces are not created in a hurry. You know, we're in Barcelona a few years ago, and we went to visit a church. It's called the Church of the Holy Family. Some of you may have seen it. Of course, in Spanish, it's not the Church of the Holy Family. But this church, very artistic. But you know, the church has been under construction for 130 years. 130 years. Did you know that Michelangelo, as he painted that ceiling in the Sistine Chapel, and I'm not sure if that, if you really, it's much more ceiling in there than is in this church, as my memory records. But, you know, it took him 4 years to paint that ceiling. Now, some of you guys will paint this in probably a day or two. But you see, you're not painting a masterpiece. Masterpieces are not created in a hurry. And since we are God's masterpiece, His work in us won't happen overnight. I came by to just remind you of that, because I think God is reminding me, is nudging me, that there's somebody here this morning who's getting a little bit anxious as to why is it taking God so long. Masterpieces are not created in a hurry. Look with me at Joshua chapter 14, because Caleb knew about waiting. We're back at verse 7 and verse 10. We have some of these verses we're going to read over and over. But in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 14, Caleb said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land." Verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses, which Israel, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Here I am, 85 years old." He was 40 when God promised him the land, and now at 85, he still hadn't inherited it. But thank God for Caleb's example. For despite God's delay, Caleb was still positive. He was still enthusiastic. He was still trusting in God. He was expecting God to work. How do you feel? How are you dealing with God's delays? Oh, you expected Him to heal you, and it's been going on. You expected Him to give you a spouse. You expected Him to give you a better job. How are you dealing with God's delays? Are you getting impatient? Are you getting angry? Are you getting discouraged? You see, our problem is that we're so accustomed to having everything done overnight. You know, that God making us wait is really a burden. We're really upset. You know, somebody just gave me, one of the members just gave me an Alexa for my birthday, and I didn't really know some of these new technology, but now I can get information immediately without even lifting a finger. So yesterday I said, "Alexa, who is expected to win the Eagles game?" You might like the answer. Alexa said immediately, "The Saints by 8 points." I don't like whoever answered a while ago. But we'll see. I can ask her anything. I said to her, "Alexa, play me a free Brooklyn Tabernacle album." Of course, you notice the word "free." Alexa searches and she finds some free Brooklyn Tabernacle, and immediately I'm listening to free Brooklyn Tabernacle. I can get her to do anything, just about answer any question. How many people are in Jamaica? I did ask her that. She said 2,990,000 people. Is that right? I hope 10 of you didn't come back and spoil her number. But here is the deal. Alexa will respond immediately, but God is not Alexa. Are you with me? He will not be hurried.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.